Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. Tonight, folks, we're going to be talking about the haunted White House. It's actually a lot more to it than I had thought. There have been stories well over 100 years of hauntings in the White House, and it goes right up to, I don't know, the present day of the Trump administration, but certainly through the Obama administration, it was quite common. It was to the point of Michelle wanting to have a seance or something like that to get rid of them all. It is really much more startling than I thought. And remarkable at the people who have seen these ghosts, including, you know, the Queen of the Netherlands, Winston Churchill, almost all the presidents since Lincoln have seen ghosts in the White House. It's really, really amazing. Judith?
Yes?
I didn't know if you had turned to a ghost or what there for a second.
No, I was just listening to the story of this.
Okay.
Yeah. It is really fascinating, you know. And there's that little boy that they've seen. And I think that's Lincoln's little boy.
Yeah, Willie.
Because Willie died at 11, but the ones that they're saying, they think that this kid is like 14, 15 that they're seeing. But he's got that blondish, shaggy hair, and I think it's Willie that they see.
Well, interestingly, this all started where I saw this article about they're going teenage, and then perhaps is a teenage boy. This ghost that was seen at the White House, so, you know, I just sent it to Judy, and eventually we stuck it on the show. But as usual, one thing leads to another. Now, this unknown boy, he was seen by this major, or reported by Major Archie Butt, B-U-T-T. This is back in the Taft White House.
Mm-hmm.
So a good 100 years ago plus. And the thing is, and it's in his writings to his sister-in-law, for instance. And the thing was, a bunch of people saw this ghost, mostly felt, but some people did see this ghost. And like Judy said, seen as sort of an unkempt light hair, which would be blonde, and sad blue eyes. So he undertook research into this. And in fact, the president himself at the time, William Taft, when told about it, sort of had a little hissy fit and commanded nobody to talk about it and pretend it wasn't there, I guess, because he just didn't want that sort of thing to get out. Really bothered the service, or at the time, you know, servants, legitimately calls. And they saw this kid for months. He knew about, apparently, the ghost of Willie, who was 11. He could never figure out who this kid was. So they sort of dismissed the Willie thing. Though Willie, as it turns out, was seen as recently as by one of LBJ's kids, I think.
Oh, yeah, she talked to him.
And she actually even talked to that kid.
She actually spoke to him. And the picture of Willie that they have, he's got unkempt blonde hair.
Hmm.
You know? So it kind of makes you wonder. There weren't any really other stories of teenagers dying while being in the White House like that. So, I don't know. I still kind of figure it might be him.
It may have been. That's a great question. Let's just look up little Willie. Oh, what a cute little dumpin'. Very cute. Hard to say. I don't know. Those pictures are awfully young. But you don't know.
His hair wouldn't have changed much as he got older.
They claim that he was, this kid, this other ghost was 14 or 15. So who knows? I always have this
There's a whole lot of people, I don't know if they would know the difference between 11 and 15. You know, that's fairly close. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting that he did kind of look like that.
Anyway, what was really weird about this Archie Butt, he was going to get to the bottom of it, and he thoroughly researched it. Unfortunately, he was in the Titanic.
Yeah.
Is that uncanny or what?
Yeah. So, when I read that, it was like, oh, my God, he died in the Titanic.
Yeah, clunk. There you go.
Well, that story didn't get far. I mean, you know.
So, yeah, he might have become a ghost. I mean, a ghost trying to probably maybe come over and tell us about the other ghost. Whatever. Nothing would surprise me at this point. But, yeah, wild. That was a really interesting story because, you know, it gets to the point where they had to tell the president because it was really upsetting the servants. And it would feel like everybody, I think, knows this feeling. Hello?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? Judith?
What?
Were you saying?
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now don't freak me out. When I was talking, were you making some weird sound?
With what?
Well, your vocal cords, I'd imagine.
No, of course not.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have
to. Why are you listening to you?
I am going to have to listen to this playback.
Really?
Because I was talking. This is what I heard. I'm going to try to imitate it. Wrong. Like
really?
That. Yes. And I'm like,
I didn't hear that at all.
Okay. God.
So it's just you.
See, this is the thing, Judith. This is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in these movies, we're not going to get into Weinstein. I was going to make a joke about Weinstein and if. Never mind. Anyway. You know, when you, like the Poltergeist movies, you invoke things when you start to play with fire, when you start to do things like make movies about ghosts and poltergeists.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the curse of the poltergeist. We actually did a show on that, remember? All the people that died and the curses that were around that thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's more than chance. And I remember the actor, who was the guy in Silence? Anthony Hopkins. Obviously, world-class, world-level actor, actually stopped acting for a little bit because he said that the role of Hannibal Lecter was actually unhealthy to do. It draws negative energy to you. It really will invoke things.
Well,
so here,
see that, yeah.
So here we are doing this. We haven't done a show on ghosts in honor of Halloween. And, you know, the more I turn – I like to keep this sort of private, but the more I turn into a Christian or – I mean, I was raised a Christian, but, you know, more Christ-centered, like just fix this whole world and try to devote myself to Christ and living that way. The more I used to love Halloween. I used to love gothic things, to tell you the truth. I used to love watching Dracula movies. I really just don't like them anymore. And, you know, that weird, I'm just hoping I don't just pull a ghost in just by studying this stuff because I'm the type of person that, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, I guess you can because, I won't even get into the little one I brought home from the hospital. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that thing that was in your house?
Yeah, it's still
and
around.
It's still there? Because I remember when Judith's pets would see the damn thing and would react to it.
Oh, absolutely. Nina was terrified of it.
Yeah, there was some nasty little thing. And there definitely are. The hospitals are full of those sorts of energies.
Well, you've got to stop and think that's logical because how many people die in a frigging hospital?
People die there. People are petrified. They're petrified of dying. They're having operations.
Sure.
They're injured. They're sick.
Out-of-body experiences.
All
kinds of weird little nifty things.
Oh, yeah.
So
people are flying all through the hospital. Yeah. It's,
they are. They probably. I mean, if you had those kind of eyes that you could see that, you would probably just be whizzing around looking at all this stuff as they're zipping by you, walking down the hall and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So, anyhow. So
now you might get haunted.
Right. So it's happening.
Well, I won't be alone. That'll be good. You can have your ghost call my ghost and they can talk with each other.
So anyway. It got to the point of telling Taft about this thing because it was such a big deal. And, of course, nothing ever came of it. It is absolutely amazing. So the person who actually saw the ghost, everybody else felt it. So it's that feeling of somebody's looking at you, like somebody looking at over your shoulder, especially like a kid. You know how, like, if you're especially a mother or father and you're working and the kids kind of like lean on you and they're looking over your shoulder watching your work. They like just, anyway. The first lady, Helen Taft, at the time's personal maid was called Marsh. I guess that's her last name. Reported not just feeling the ghost, but leaning over her shoulder, but saw the ghost that she described as the young boy with light, unkempt hair and sad blue eyes. It's really wild. But anyway, Taft was not happy with it and went into a rage and commanded nobody to talk about it. Not that it changed anything whatsoever. But it was kind of like a big deal. Now, they thought that it could have been Willie Lincoln, who had died during his father's second term of office, possibly of typhoid fever. But he was just 11 years old, much younger than the description of this poor kid was called The Thing. Is what they non-lovingly referred to it as. And Willie's ghost had already been a known figure in Washington, first being reported as a ghost in the White House back in the 1870s.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take long for that kid to show up. It's wild.
Yeah, probably, you know, because being so young and everything, I don't know. That's like the, you know, we can talk about it later, but the thing about Lincoln and...
Well, Lincoln himself, I think, is the number one ghost in the White House.
Well, he is, but, I mean, he actually predicted his death.
Oh, yeah.
That he was going to die, and, you know, we can go in and talk about that story as well, but I don't remember him ever saying that he saw his son.
No, he didn't. He was already, Lincoln himself already died before the sun started showing up. Because that was the 1870s, remember? When Willie was first reported. So Lincoln was already dead in the 1860s. The thing is, that's interesting, was Lincoln himself was, I'm not saying he was out and out psychic, but he had these premonitions. And it's quite riveting. When you read this stuff, kind of like me, so much of my oddities happen in my dream life. And not.
Well, I think a lot of people, whatever. They don't pay attention to their dreams, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes the dreams are really telling them something.
Yeah.
I've had it happen to me.
The world was a bit more quiet then, and believe it or not, people have been open to this thing of the paranormal for thousands of years, because for God's sake, it's always been with us. It's really, really, really fascinating. Yeah, and he had these endless premonitions about his death. He basically knew that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of goes in along with it, perhaps. But his ghost is, it's like the dominant ghost in the White House. And
say,
not to jump to the top, but I'm going to do that. The Queen of the Netherlands, Wilhelmina, this was in 1942. She was staying at the White House. She was visiting. And the room she was staying in, there was a knock at the door. She got up and opened the door. And it was Abraham Lincoln. And I think he had... sorry about that. The phone is ringing. Just ignore that phone in the corner. Had a some sort of coat on...
like a frilly kind of coat, like a dress coat, it would have been.
Right.
Mhm. Yeah, and he had his top hat on. He always had that top hat.
Yeah, it is wild. To me, it was absolutely wild to read that. And she ended up fainting upon seeing him. Well, yeah, he had a frock, what they called a frock coat, and a top hat standing in front of her. She probably fainted. Absolutely extraordinary stuff. Who's our main man there? Winston Churchill, the one who saved us temporarily from Nazism. Winston Churchill, of course, was known for taking his long hot bath while drinking
coffee. That was a funny one.
And apparently, yeah, he was a bit of a nudie kind of guy, apparently. All the productions always have him walking around naked. Anyway, but I mean, who isn't after a bath? Hello? I mean, I suppose you put a towel on or whatever, but, you know, anyway, it's just him in the room. Well, it wasn't just him in the room, as it turns out. So he goes from the bathroom with a cigar into the bedroom he's staying at the White House, only to see the president.
Mm-hmm.
But not the live president. It was a dead president, Abraham Lincoln, standing by the fireplace in the room, leaning on the mantel.
Yeah.
Churchill then says, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage." Lincoln smiled softly as if laughing and disappeared. So to me, that's more than a repetitive type ghost.
Oh, that's something that knows what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, he actually was conscious and responding.
Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Well, it still is very common for the ghost of Lincoln to knock on your door mm-hmm. or they can hear him walking around in his room.
Yeah.
And of course they know that nobody's in there, but he is, evidently. But there's been a lot of people, you know, that have come to stay in, and they were given that room to stay in as a, you know, quite an honor to be able to stay in the Lincoln room.
Yeah.
And I think every single one of them had some sort of something happen or they saw something that, you know, the night that they stayed there.
Yep.
So it gets to be really interesting because it's not just, oh, you know, it happens once in a while. It happens very, very commonly with that specific room.
If I'm not mistaken, one of the draws when the Clintons were selling the room, meaning there people were paying to stay there, that was one of the draws. Apparently, they wanted to have an apparition or a sighting. And I forget it, but apparently that was part of it. Really, it's absolutely wild to me how many people have seen Lincoln's ghost.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a very common thing at that at the White House.
Eleanor Roosevelt saw Lincoln's ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are not just nobody. It's pretty huge.
And they absolutely knew what they were looking at.
Yeah.
Somebody from another country who might not have recognized him.
Well, and again, you know, not that these things need to be played up, but certainly there could be either a movie or a TV show about these things, Ghosts of the White House, because there are a lot of pictures taken in the White House, and there was one taken of Mary Todd Lincoln, and they're saying it was a double exposure of what?
Yeah.
He was already dead.
Standing behind her with his hands on her shoulders.
Right. So how could that be a double exposure? Who was that guy?
Yeah, that one was.
He was already dead. Where would he have come from?
Yeah.
To be part of the double exposure. It's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's an apparition that's in that. It's really extraordinary. It's absolutely an extraordinary picture. And what's super neat is the photographer didn't know who she was. She went under a pseudonym, like Mrs. Tundle or something like that, when she got her picture taken. So he didn't know who she was. And I like to say that I actually met Mary Todd Lincoln. That was quite a freak thing. Down in, my sister used to live in Lexington, Kentucky. And when I went to visit her, we went to the Mary Todd Lincoln house because that's where she was from. I've also been to Lincoln's birthplace, which I think it's in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. It's in a holler, as they call it. Actually, it's super nice. I mean, believe me, his house is like a doghouse that he grew up in.
Yeah.
I don't even know how he grew up in it. It was a wooden shack, literally a wooden shack. However, the environs, those hollers, even though they're dirt poor, literally, are quite nice.
Mm.
It's a lovely spot. But anyhow, yeah, Mary Todd Lincoln, she was a psycho. And so the woman who was the docent playing Mary Todd Lincoln, I went with my sister and some of her friends. We all looked at each other like, okay, this woman thinks she really is Mary Todd Lincoln. Because you know how most of these people...
they play the part.
They play the part, but this woman was the part. It was stunning and actually borderline scary. Like you were talking to somebody who was either possessed or schizo or something. And she was amazing, but she played the part. She did not say, no, Mary Todd Lincoln would have done that in Abraham. She assumed the role of Mary Todd Lincoln. I never seen anything like it. It was just actually unnerving. I'm like, this woman is, I really believed that was the reincarnation of Mary Todd Lincoln. She assumed the personality. It was freakish, real, real freakish. And she was so defended Mary Todd Lincoln because her personality was kind of sort of questionable, the whole thing about her. Very strong woman. She's probably a fantastic person. Whatever. I sort of liked her, I guess. Anyhow, Abraham showed in one of the pictures. Did you hear that, Judith?
What?
Somebody just said hello.
No.
Yes, they did. It was a guy's voice, and it was that same guy. There's no one on our switchboard. There's no one on our line. I just heard.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe it's on the line. It's something. Somewhere.
How? No.
But I didn't hear it.
I'm on Skype. There are only two phones. One is blog and one is. I have goosebumps over my entire body.
Maybe it's Lincoln.
S-H-I blank.
I think it's funny.
I always put this as PG or G or whatever, so I'm not going to say that. I cannot believe, you know, it's one thing to get an echo and hear yourself.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not saying, no, his voice is not, it was not my voice, but it's a guy's voice, and he just said hello.
Damn. Really?
Yeah.
There's nobody on the switchboard. There's nobody.
Nobody on the switchboard. There's no, but no, we don't have our call. It's not like having Gary when we have callers. There's no calls there. There's nobody on Skype. There's only you and me.
And I heard nothing.
Oh, damn.
You've been drinking again.
No.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I really should start. That's my problem.
I've thought about starting myself lately. Oh, God, I don't know.
If I knew my liver could take it, I think I'd do it. I mean.
Just wine or something, you know? What the heck?
Well, I was thinking of, I love the taste of rum. But I'm not, it's a little bit strong, but Bailey's Irish Cream, that's absolutely delicious. But yeah, some wine. I could do wine. Maybe someday if I live on. All right. I'm just blown away. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I didn't hear a thing.
Unmistakable.
Is it a deep voice?
No, I would rate it as a medium voice.
Medium voice.
It's not. It wasn't deep. It's not like deep like Gary's voice. It's a medium.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it's a man's voice, adult male voice.
Huh.
It's as though you just picked up the phone and somebody said hello.
Well,
except it wasn't that kind of hello. It was almost like, hello, I'm here voice. Hello, like that. Like, hello, wake up.
That's odd. I could see if it was somebody, you know, trying to connect up with us.
I'm being very respectful of Mary Todd Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
So just bug off.
oh, well.
Hey, unless it's Lincoln. Is it you?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's Lincoln. We don't know what he really sounded like.
Okay. Abraham, if that's you, please, the next time you speak, identify yourself. I know it's going to send me into a frenzy. It's okay. I'll survive. I've been abducted by aliens. This
and I'll be all alone on the air because David will faint.
I do go into shock, but I'm not.
I'll just hear this big foot.
It'll be my head.
Oh, God.
Okay, moving on. My man, Teddy Roosevelt, I don't care what anybody says, I think he's a great president.
Yes.
He was an amazing guy. He saw Maureen Reagan and her husband, saw Abraham Lincoln, blows my mind. Mm-hmm. First Lady Grace Coolidge saw Lincoln standing at the window of the Yellow Oval Room, staring at the Potomac.
Yeah.
This is amazing stuff, really.
Yeah.
Mary Ebbin, Eleanor Roosevelt's secretary, saw Lincoln pulling on his boots. Eleanor herself felt Lincoln, and her dog would quite often bark at, quote-unquote, nothing.
Right, yeah. And animals are very, very susceptible to spirit because animals can, they sense that stuff. I can't tell you how many times in our friend's house out in North Stonington that their two big shepherds saw it before we did. And then they would just, their the hair would stand up and then they would run from front door to the back door just trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd run around the house and howl. Like
a
the
president,
hounds of the Baskervilles.
Yeah, President Truman was awakened by raps at the door while spending a night at the Lincoln bedroom. Margaret Truman, his daughter, ditto. And she believed it was Lincoln. President Eisenhower's press secretary, James Haggerty. Liz Coppinger, press secretary to Lady Bird Johnson. Both felt Lincoln's presence many times. That's the tip of the iceberg. But I do like the photos. Freaky.
Well, it was, which one was it? Nixon, I think it was.
Yep.
That they were taking a photograph of President
Bush.
And he's standing, kind of leaning up against the desk in the Oval Office, and who's sitting in the chair behind the desk, looking like he's writing, and it's Nixon. You can't mistake that nose.
No. But is he on the phone, or is he leaning?
No, he appeared to be writing. He appeared to be leaning forward and writing.
Oh, no. He had his right hand is in the position of on the desk, perhaps writing. The left hand, it's like his, either he's, you know how if you put your fist and you like lean your head into your fist for as a
oh,
prop
yep.
to hold you
yep.
up? It's either that or on a phone. I can't really tell what that is. Yeah, I mean, this was caught by a photographer. This is pre-photo. Wait, when was Photoshop made, though? Could have been Photoshopped, I guess, but it's a specter. You know, it's there. You can see who it is, but it's... No,
you
it's,
can see through him.
Oh, yeah, you can see through him. That's Richard Nixon. That's freakish. Yeah.
You can see right through his body. So, I mean, if that was Photoshopped, it would be kind of difficult, I would imagine, to be able to do that.
And our friend Hillary Clinton, when she's not on her, what doing her crazy book tour, she's seeing ghosts of Richard Nixon. And she felt she had seen Richard Nixon's ghost several times. And, of course, because it's all about her, that's what her memoir should have been about, not like what happened. Should be, it's all about me. as she sums it up, as she sees Richard Nixon, because most of these people sort of like focus on the ghost. She said, I think he's targeting me, which maybe he was, but because she was part of the white Watergate committee. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she got fired for breaking the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he was targeting her. Maybe she is right. But yeah, it was seen in the Bush White House, but Hillary saw and reported seeing Nixon several times. You know, it's really weird, Judith. She, when she had said this before, I thought she meant Hillary would go into meditation and think about Eleanor Roosevelt. Apparently, she went into a trance and actually had the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi overtake her.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's what she said. I don't know that much about that. You know, the story, I've only seen it that one time, so I have no idea what...
That blew my mind. I thought she had said that she was just meditating on her because she, you know, looked up to Eleanor Roosevelt and sort of like channeled her, quote unquote that. But this says in his book, The Choice, Bob Woodward, again, the Watergate reporter, described how in 1995 a seance was held by psychic Jean Houston in the White House.
During I remember
which,
her.
Yeah. Jean, during the seance, Hillary sank into a trance and channeled the spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi. Okay, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
But you know what? And part of it's in jest, part of it isn't. Because I know it's actually unhealthy what we do with politics today. I mean, everybody, talk about a pinata. It doesn't matter which person it is. Everybody's getting slammed out there. But, you know, I hate to say it, Hillary is so slammable. So, and most of these people are. But just the thought of Hillary going into a trance and then Bob Woodward reporting this, like I've said sometimes, and other people have said it too, like when she makes those weird herky-jerky head movements that seem like unnatural and not even possible to make without like really spraining your neck. I don't know. I mean, I used to make these because I used to love Stargate and people had these ghoul things overtake them and whatever. She always reminded me of that, like her eyes would bug out because they're in like, you know, that movie, The Three Faces of Eve or whatever,
yeah.
Sybil, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
People have multiple personalities. How many times have we seen Hillary where it's like, okay, which Hillary is going to show up? You know, is it the abuela Hillary? Is it the tough Hillary? Is it the mother Hillary? Is it the student Hillary? Is it the tough feminist Hillary? Is it the first lady Hillary? Is it president Hillary? She just changes all the time, and her eyes change. I mean, she looks so different. She really, 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 really does. Whereas, like, take Michelle Obama. Did she really ever change? I mean, even when she changed her hairdo or whatever, you know, that's Michelle Obama. She acts the same, looks the same, talks the same. Even some of the other first ladies, Rosalind Carter, Nancy Reagan, whether you like them or not, Mrs. Bush, not so much Barbara because she drove me nuts, but Laura Bush. You know, she could have a different outfit, different hairdo, whatever, but she was always the same. Hillary? I think there is something to that now that I see that she channels people and she fell into a trance. I think different personalities sort of come through her. And I mean that in all seriousness. I really, really do. As much as I make fun of her, clearly she's a driven woman. She's highly intelligent, highly educated, highly successful, blah, 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 blah. But she seems to be this wacky megalomaniac who at times can give a great speech and at times is like a lunatic. And, you know, it seems as though there's some sort of dissociation that happens with her. And people who have the ability to trans-channel, tend to be that way. They have like a loose... They don't have like a strong core personality that they're the same no matter what.
That's why they can get taken over so easily.
Exactly. They can be taken over. And I think that says a lot. But that sort of freaked me out. You know, I didn't think she channeled Eleanor. I thought she just sort of tuned into... no, she channeled Eleanor Roosevelt and she channeled Mahatma Gandhi.
Yeah, I had read that. Yeah.
I had never known that. That was wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's also
the one thing that got me was that when Michelle Obama wanted to hold that seance in order to clear the house of ghosts.
Correct.
I have to stand up because President Obama said absolutely not. Because he felt I think that like I do about like our ancestors' place and everything. That if this castle has ancestor ghosts. I mean, I'm sure it does. It was built in 1300. So could it have ancestral ghosts and stuff? And my feeling is that I would gladly have somebody come like Gary, but it wouldn't be to get rid of them. It would be to, you know, to let them know that no one was going to disturb them, and they could do whatever, if they wanted to march around, do whatever they wanted. I would feel, personally, they were there first. So I think that's how President Obama kind of felt. It wasn't his place to, you know, to block them, to keep them out, to get rid of them. And even though people didn't like the idea of them being around, I've been living with one now for years.
Okay,
that
I
my
think,
animals would have appreciated me getting rid of, but
I would have to take Michelle's position in this case, in that this is the third dimension where human beings live in the physical. I think those people need to move on and out of here and should be sent to the light. That's
well, they
what I
should
think.
Go, be, but I mean, that should be offered to them if they want to go to the light.
No,
I think
light.
Some of these souls, I think they don't care to go to the light. That should be their choice if that's where they felt at home. And how do we know that being where they are and where they've loved to be could possibly be their heaven for them? And the other ones are the other kind of ghosts that we see who are just ghosts. They're not even really ghosts. You know what I mean? They're just some sort of a
residual energy pattern.
Residual energy that's left there, and it just keeps going around and around and around like a, you know, something being shown constantly.
It's weird. I just think they should go. Okay, so you know what's weird is the ghost that Obama, the President Obama, saw the most. Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, he did. He saw him a lot.
It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I know most people don't know this. It just blows my mind. I think it's awesome that most of these people have actually talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Hillary, one of the reasons some of the alternative crowd wanted Hillary to get in was because she and Podesta were big into UFOs. So Hills is into the alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They had for years said that, you know, each president that was coming in and certain other ones, they would say, well, this one here is going to, you know, release the findings on UFOs.
Happened.
And it never happened. You know, it just never, nobody ever released it. And
Carter wanted it.
How many presidents saw it and believed in him?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they did believe in it. They wanted it released, but something in the government said no.
Supposedly, even your man Trump.
Mm.
And it never happens, because this is the whole thing. I know it kind of brings the party down, but the fact is, as much as they pull that nonsense about the president of the United States is the highest office on the planet or the most powerful person, it's not even true. As we've brought to you on this program many times, there are so many levels above the president that people can override him and they don't have access to, because I know the number of presidents have tried. They're human too. They want to know. Mr. Ghost of Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was one of the biggest into UFOs. He was the one who brought Jackie Gleason to one of the bases down in Florida and showed him an alien. He was big into it.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff. But I know that Hillary's into it.
Well, Reagan's were big into paranormal.
Paranormal.
That's just who they were.
But I know Bill Clinton also wanted to do the and Carter for sure wanted to do the UFO thing, and they just got shut down.
Mm.
They just got shut down. So that's kind of weird when you think you're the president and you just bam.
I had to kind of when I was reading this, and Michelle Obama said that, and so did the president, that a lot of the staff called in sick during the week of Halloween,
and
they think that. She said in here, we think that we might have over 50% of the staff stay home on Halloween. The White House press secretary, Jay Carney, had said almost everybody has had some sort of encounter with a ghost.
Yeah.
who are very aggressive, and some staffers are afraid that they might be attacked physically.
Well, you know, it is an energy center, world important events have happened there countless times. So it's hardly
once again, it is a place that's built on a grid.
Oh yeah, the whole thing is built on a grid anyway.
Yep.
Plus I have my own feelings about Washington, the Vatican, Hollyweird, all these places, they're portals to hell. I'm serious.
I haven't heard it called Hollyweird before.
This whole thing is joy, watching these self-absorbed celebrities implode on each other. I mean, this is the greatest thing. That's why I was going to open the show, actually, ask if you've ever been molested by Harvey Weinstein. I mean, it is so
interesting. I'm sure there's a number of people, yeah.
I mean, who hasn't been molested by Harvey Weinstein? This guy is a nonstop freak. I mean, but then this is what's so great. It's just opened up the floodgates. Now, Ben Affleck and Steven Seagal and who's the other one who's friends with Affleck there? Matt Damon. It's going on and on and on. Everybody's being accused of everything. It's wild. And of course, my thing is, you're all adults. I don't want to hear it. On the other hand, my big gripe is the most innocent people on the planet are children. They're the most vulnerable. Pedophilia is rampant. Everyone knows it. And it's rampant in both Washington and Hollywood.
And they'll cover it up.
And it's all covered up. And last year, I know this has nothing to do with the show.
Especially when it gets into political whatever. They cover it right up.
But it's come up for a reason, so I'm going to just blurt it out here. Elijah Wood came out after, because he was a child actor, but he had hover parents, like helicopter parents, that were always there. He was never molested by anybody. He had a great experience. His other co-stars as kids did not. And some are dead. They've committed suicide. They became drug addicts, whatever. They're dead. And that Corey Feldman. I'm not big on movies. I really don't know much about Hollywood because it just revulses me so much. It always has. There was another Corey. That one's alive, but he said he was raped. And these are powerful. He goes, there's still powerful men in Hollywood.
Well, you
and
can
no,
go back to Shirley Temple and all these children and the horrible things they did to those kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing to protect those kids at all in those days.
I am in no way ever for anybody violating anybody else's rights. Those people are sick.
Mm-hmm.
However, even as a man, I can tell in the world's most boring profession, engineering, believe me, there was sexual, what would you call it? Intimidation, sexual. It's real weird when I think about it. I mean, but I was a grown man. I could defend myself. I didn't think anything of it, to tell you the truth. Only one time was I really spooked. And I'll just share this. I don't know if I've ever told you this one. This is just great. And I know it has nothing to do with the ghost of the White House, but it's fun. There was so there's a hierarchy. So our manager, everything is different, just like in different branches of the military, there are different ranks. It's not exactly corresponding. So I was an engineer, supervisor, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It goes up to a chief, and then above the chief is the management manager, and then there's this department head is the head of the manager. And that's the entire thing. I was in General Dynamics, a humongous corporation. My division had 30,000 people, huge, corporate America, classic. Just think of a huge, complex corporate America, right? So lots and lots of people. And the secretary of the manager, I was warned by our secretary, had a thing for young men. I was a young man one time. And everything is done very much like the military, because even though we were not military, all we made were submarines. Most of the people who worked there were former military. Believe me, the bathroom was called the head. Everything was a military term. I grew up, I worked, everything was military. So this is, even though I wasn't in the military, it was like I was. So there was a very much a chain of command, and people obeyed the chain of command, and you didn't go outside of the chain of command. It's like a private, well, not so much a private, but so a lower ranking officer doesn't just talk to a general unless the general talks to you. You know what I mean? So it's like that. So I get this call that I had a meeting with the manager. And like, did you talk to my boss about this? This doesn't happen. You're breaking the chain of command. Not that I said that. I'm like, and he told me not to tell him. Is that weird or what? Mm. I'm like, this is so out of the ordinary and weird. Yeah. So I went to the meeting, which is in a whole other building. I go in, and so usually the way it works, he has an inner office. The outer office is the secretary. She's the first person to greet you. So there's a door. You go in. There she is in her outer office. Then there's like another, it's almost like a foyer. And then on the side, you go through another door, and then there's his office. It's just all, it's like room within a room within a room. Okay, so it is. Okay, she's not there. So I'm standing there like, okay, this is really weird. So I just play hide and seek and I go and find her. She is on my manager's lap going up and down. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
God.
And I'm like, oh, holy God. And I just backed out. I was in my mid-20s and I'm like, oh, no. It's my turn in the barrel. So, you know, I don't know if that was to excite me, to get me to be part of a menage a trois or whatever. She comes out, like, fixing her clothes, you know, just like out of a movie, to tell you the truth. And then I come in, no, come into the movie. And then I'm just going to leave it at that.
I don't care where you work. You're going to find that goes on everywhere. It did when I worked at the hospitals and stuff. You would see the nurses come out that's been making rounds with some guy, and you know the doctor comes walking out straightening out his tie, and she comes putting a cap back on, and they come tooting out, you know, and it's like, oh God, how, you know.
We had an industrial elevator in the back of our building for pickups, and the thing about that is the beauty of that thing was I actually love that thing, versus like a normal elevator, which is whatever. It's bigger, and it has this weird, it's one of those old industrial elevators. It has those wooden sort of slats and poles, actually.
Yeah,
And you just grab it and lift it up physically. It didn't automatically raise you. You just lift the thing up. And it was big. People would go in there and have sex because you could stop it in the middle of the floors. You could just stop it anywhere. And that's what they would do.
Whereas we had broom closets. But I don't know how many times I got grabbed by a couple of the younger doctors and just pulled in and said, hey, leave me alone, and try to get out before, you know, you got mauled.
Yeah.
But literally, if there was a curtain someplace, they'd get you behind a curtain. It was terrible.
It is. People are people, and they do this sort of stuff. And like I talk about this now. I'm not going to mention any names. I never would. I don't even care. Like I said, I was a grown man. I can defend myself. Nothing happened to me other than having like boobs rubbed in my face, which isn't the worst thing in the world, except it's unwanted.
It isn't the worst. I love it. Oh God, it's not the worst thing in the world. Oh, okay. Oh, that struck me so funny. It's pathetic.
Well, I mean, even in a sense, like, you know, if a doctor grabs your rear end or your boobs or whatever, again, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is pathetic. But all I'm saying is that it has happened. And for all these people, I know I can't imagine the reverse because in the main, men are physically stronger than women. So it could be more scary.
Sure, get it some big surgeon who thinks he's real hot, you know, a hot number, and you get behind a curtain and the patient's unconscious. You got your life in your hands because you're a woman trying to push off this big guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on. I thought of this the other night, all the crazy things that we've had to face as nurses over the years, and it's like this just goes on constantly. It doesn't matter what hospital it is. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I knew, and I remember in high school, we used to call it Peyton Place because of all the teachers that were, which teachers
sure.
had teachers. And when I went to, Westerly High School, which is, you'd have to be here to understand it. It's like maybe, nothing ever happens there. I will again wouldn't mention the teachers because again, when it was like the female teachers and the boys,
mm-hmm.
that was considered, that he was lucky, right? Because,
oh, sure.
You know, at that age,
all the young guys thought they were
believe
being
me.
Touched because they got to be with
right.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me,
teacher.
Most kids are not having sex as much as they, maybe today. I don't know, but back then they weren't in the
mm-hmm.
early 70s and whatever. But at least in my nerdy school, but mm-hmm. a few guys were lucky, and that's how we treated it as that. But even then, I had the old what's rubbed on me. So it happened. It's absolutely amazing. But yeah, it's just people. That's what people do. But
it's human nature, I guess. But yeah.
That's why
it's
I say
pretty bad.
It's human nature. You expect it, but it's the kids that I want protected. They don't
oh,
have.
Oh, sure. I think anybody who goes after a child should be hung, drawn and quartered. Leave them up there to rot.
Agreed. I'm hoping I don't become a ghost to haunt those freaks, but. That's kind of my thing is anybody and it never how some people do it because they happen never happened to me. However, anybody who's vulnerable, just like I have to say, a good friend of mine as an adult in a hospital, she had an operation and she called me up from the hospital. It's kind of personal, but whatever. She felt as though she had been violated because she felt a certain way. She had a certain issue. She felt a certain way after intercourse, let's say that. And she goes, I'm beside myself. I'm like, I just wish I had a recorder. Who would think you would need that in a hospital? She didn't think it was a doctor. She thought it was Could be anybody, like on the night shift, like a cleaner or something. She sort of thought,
it can be. There's all kinds of staff on at night cleaning.
She goes, no, I don't know anything. And she ended up having this vaginal discharge. All sorts of weird things happened. It traumatized her. It's awful.
I remember being a patient in there. Of course, I knew all the doctors, but there was one specific doctor that used to try to pull me in closets and stuff like that. But I woke up in my hospital bed, in my room with him sleeping next to me. And I don't even know when he showed up. But he said, yeah, he was curled up and he had my box of chocolates out. He'd been eating my chocolates and watching my TV and he dozed off.
Your doctor.
He didn't touch me. He didn't do anything to me. He wasn't my doctor. He was a doctor I worked with. And evidently, I said, what are you doing in here? He says, I ain't getting any dinner. I knew you'd have something. So he came in, and then he was laying on the bed with me, and evidently I was asleep, and he was just helping himself to food and whatever else he could mooch off me.
But I thought he was asleep next to you, though.
He was. He must have eaten my candies, and he was watching TV and dozed off. No.
Man, this is a freak show on this planet. And that's just...
We were good friends with most of these guys, and I knew damn well that they would never touch most of them.
Hmm.
But you had a couple of them that you wouldn't dare fall asleep near them. Yeah, they were bad. So, anyway, just as we get to the end of this, there was a ghost call of Ann Surratt.
Yes.
She runs around pounding on the doors of the White House, pleading for... the release of her mother, Mary Surratt, who was executed in 1865 for her part in the conspiracy to assassinate President Lincoln. Her daughter is said to appear on the White House steps on July 7th, which is the anniversary of her mother's her hanging. So that goes on. There's the ghost of a British soldier from the War of 1812, said to walk the grounds in front of the White House at night, a remnant of 1814, an attempt to, by the British,
that's when they tried to burn the White House.
Burn the White House, is always seen with a blazing torch in his hand.
Yeah, yeah, they tried to burn the White House. Didn't they burn part of it?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and so that was probably one of the guys that did it. Yeah, so yeah,
he was part and parcel, probably died there. They shot him or whatever, and he was just there. The ghost of Dorothea Payne, Dolly Madison, was the wife of President James Madison, and she planted her first rose garden every time Michelle Obama was out there trying to garden and stuff. She said Dolly would appear and berate her for not doing it right.
Isn't that amazing, though?
Yeah. A lot of these are modern-day presidents and their wives who have been seeing this thing. William Henry Harrison can sometimes be heard rummaging about up in the attic, and JFK and Marilyn Monroe. Several White House staffers have said they have seen the ghosts of JFK and Marilyn Monroe having ghost sex in different parts of the White House.
That's almost sad.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's not just the closets in the hospitals. I mean,
God help us.
It goes on. Can you do? I don't know, but there's a lot of ghosts attached, and being this is our Halloween-y months, you know, to bring some of these out. A lot of people have no idea because, you know, they just never really discussed. And as far as the presidents, a lot of them didn't want anything brought up about them. They wanted it just dropped. But, you know, you've got all that staff working in a place and they're hearing and seeing all this stuff. It's not going to stop.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's just ridiculous. Grin and bear it. I mean, that's what going on in you know, just one old building in our capital.
Oh, exactly. It's all, that's why, you know, people like us who have either experienced them ourselves or right here on the show, during the show, I mean, we know it's all real, but yeah, that's just one building. And look at everything that's happened there. I'm sure the Capitol, you know, on and on and on and on and on we could go. The mall. I could imagine where the Vietnam Memorial is, even though nobody's buried there. Just that energy, that constant energy. I mean, I went. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to the Vietnam Memorial?
No, I haven't.
It's overwhelming. I was blown away because I thought, as I often think about these sorts of things, there are certain things I love. Like if somebody said, let's go to the Museum of Natural History, I would jump for joy. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Vietnam Memorial. Ugh. It was overwhelming and blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
The amount, it's like probably the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem or something, not to really compare those two, but still. It's just that there's so much energy focused there, blew me away. I was stunned, absolutely stunned. But I'm that empathic type, so I highly recommend anybody going there. But I could imagine the amount of spirits that have got to be around there because everybody's focusing their attention on those people when they're there.
Yeah. And they're thinking about them.
And actually, your beloved, his name is on that.
I would imagine.
It's got to be.
I never wanted to go there.
Don't do it. You won't make it. It's brutal.
No, I just didn't want to do it. It was just, it would be too hard. So, but anyway, this is our Halloween-y month, so we'll be bringing up some other unusual sight for ghosts and stuff if you want to hear about them.
Maybe.
And,
I just don't
we'll
know about
bring up
it.
Something else that isn't calling David on the air.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Bye. And you have been listening to The Unknown Zone here on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank you for joining us tonight for the ghosts of the White House. And join us every Tuesday, but every week for another episode of The Unknown Zone, something unusual to bring in to think about. Hope you had some fun tonight, too. For Judy Sellens, I'm Dave Turco. Talk to you again next week for another Hour of the Unusual.